You know, I remember when my kids were first learning to speak and to put words together. Some of the first things that they would say to me and my wife were requests. Things like, "Dada, up. Dada, snack. Dada, help." You know, and as a father, this brought me so much joy. It is exactly what I wanted to hear from my kids. But now that my kids are 7 and 10, I'm also thankful that our communication has grown beyond that point. Not that they ever stop asking me for things, but due to the growth in our relationship, we can talk about so much more than just their requests. You know, I think that parallels to our spiritual journeys. When a child or a new believer is first learning to pray, to communicate with God, one of the first things we learn and get pretty comfortable with is bringing requests to God. And you know, that's not a bad thing. The Bible actually instructs us to do just that. In Philippians 4, verse 6, the Apostle Paul writes, "To be anxious about nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." And Jesus himself said in Mark 11, 24, "Whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours." So yes, it is good to bring our requests to God. But I also know that if we're not careful, if we're not intentional, our request asking can become very unhealthy. Let me give you a few examples. First of all, sometimes our prayers can become about just making requests to God. God serves almost like a genie in a bottle who we just come to when we want or need something. You know, I think we'd all admit that's not healthy. That's not the type of relationship God wants with us. Yet it's so easy to slip there. Or next, sometimes I think we can start to filter our prayer requests before bringing them to God. You know, it's interesting because working in kids ministry, I've noticed kids don't do that. I'm so thankful. Kids understand you can bring anything to God. There's no request too small or too large to be brought to God in prayer. But for some reason, as adults, we sometimes feel the need to do this, to filter our requests, to deem them worthy to be brought to God in prayer. But once again, I don't think Scripture ever tells us to do that. Finally, sometimes, due to the weight of life or disappointment or our own sin or the lies of the enemy, we can just stop making requests to God altogether. We can start to believe lies like God doesn't hear you. God doesn't care about your request. God has bigger things to worry about than your request. You already asked for that once and didn't get the answer you were looking for, so why keep praying? So whether it be our prayer life becomes only about making requests, or we start to filter our requests before bringing them to God, or we get discouraged and stop making requests altogether, none of those are healthy. And that's why I'm so thankful that Jesus shows us a better way. If you have your Bible, I would encourage you to open up with me to Matthew chapter 6. If you're visiting on this Independence Day weekend, we are in a summer series going word by word and phrase by phrase through the Lord's Prayer. In one of Jesus's most well-known teachings, in Matthew chapter 5 through 7, often referred to as the Sermon on the Mount, right in the middle of that, Jesus teaches us how to pray. And in this prayer, Jesus doesn't just give us the words to pray, but more so the framework or the shape of our prayers. And this morning, we kind of come to a turning point in the Lord's Prayer. You may remember that Pastor Ryan mentioned that in this prayer, there are really two sets of three requests being offered up to God. The first three requests come in verses 9 and 10, and they are centered on God. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now in verses 11, 12, and 13, the focus turns to us. This morning, we're going to dig into verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. But before we do, I think it's important to notice that the order of Jesus's prayer example was very intentional. Jesus was not just giving us a bullet list of things to pray and we can pick and choose which ones we want to pray. No, Jesus was quite literally shaping our hearts for prayer. Because before Jesus ever gets to our needs, he anchors us in God's glory. Jesus didn't begin this prayer with, God, here is what we need from you. No, he begins with our Father who is in heaven. And so right from the beginning of the prayer, we are reminded of who we are praying to. We are praying to our good heavenly Father who is not distant or detached or far off. He is personal. We are reminded that we are a part of his family. We are a part of his household, as Pastor Mark shared, his Beit Av. So prayer doesn't start with our need, with our lack, with our anxiety. It starts with our identity as children of the Heavenly Father. Then we move to hallowed be your name. Before we ever ask God to do something for us, we acknowledge who he is. We slow down long enough to say, God, you are holy, you are worthy, you are deserving of all our praise and worship. And we are being shaped through that part of the prayer. You know, that's kind of similar to what we do when we gather to worship. We all come in here with things on our mind, with the weight of life on our shoulders. And when we start by singing praise and worship to God, we are focusing our minds on God. Hallowed be your name. Then comes your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So this takes us even a step further in shaping our hearts. It's not just, God, we are a part of your family. God, you are worthy of all praise. Now it becomes, God, we surrender. God, your will is greater than our will. Your plan above our plan. Your kingdom over our comfort. And that's where something profound happens. Our hearts are being aligned to our Father's heart. So by the time that we get to give us this day our daily bread, we are not coming as consumers demanding a service or anxious people grasping for control. No, we're coming as children who trust our good Father. As worshipers who have seen and experienced his greatness, as servants who are choosing to submit to his will. And that changes the shape of our prayer. Because once again, if Jesus had started this prayer with, pray then in this way, give us this day our daily bread, the whole prayer would have a different shape, a different tone. It would feel transactional. It would feel self-centered. It would feel like God and prayer exists to meet our needs. But Jesus teaches us not to start there. Why? Because when our communication with God starts with our needs and our circumstances, we can begin to interpret who God is through our circumstances. And that's not healthy at all. But when our prayers start with God's character and worship and submission, then we will interpret our circumstances through who he is. And that never changes. And so now that finally brings us to our request. And we can make our requests with confidence because our hearts are anchored in the truths that God is my Father, God is holy, God is in control. So now we ask and we trust. Now we say, give us this day our daily bread, because I know the one I am asking. And that's why the first word in this verse matters so much, the word give. This word is not just a request, it is actually a reflection of who God is. When we ask God to give, we are not persuading a reluctant God to act against his nature, because God is at his core a giver. So when we pray, give us, we are not begging God to become something he is not. We are trusting him to be exactly who he has already revealed himself to be, a generous, faithful, loving, attentive father who delights in providing for his children. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift comes from above, comes from God. That is who God is. Will you think with me for a minute about all that God has given us? First and foremost, he gave us life. He has given us purpose in this life. When we ask, he gives us wisdom for living this life well. He has given us his peace that surpasses understanding, his joy that is beyond our circumstances. When we mess up and fail and sin, he has given us grace and mercy in abundance. And in the greatest act of love in human history, he gave us his one and only son. You see, the word forgive that Jesus uses in this prayer, the original Greek word is the word didymi. Didymi. And that is the exact same word that is used in John 3:16. Kids, you know this verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. Church, our giving as humans is so often conditional or self-interested or at very least limited. But God's didymi is generous. It is joyful. It is abundant. And that should give us great confidence in our prayer life. Next, we see the words us and our. Give us this day our daily bread. Have you noticed how in the Lord's Prayer, there are no singular pronouns, no I's or me's or my's? It is not my Father who is in heaven, it's our Father who is in heaven. It's not give me this day my daily bread, it's give us this day our daily bread. I think that's important to emphasize because here in America, we live in a hyper-individualistic culture. We drive our own cars, have our own houses with locks on the doors and blinds on the shades. We spend a lot of our time on our personal electronic devices, our iPhones and iPads. I wrote this message on my personal laptop computer, and our families on our streaming services, we each have our own profile so that all of the entertainment is geared towards me. But I want to remind you, that was not the culture in which Jesus was teaching this prayer. And it's definitely not the culture of God's kingdom. When we pray, we are a part of God's worldwide, intercultural, intergenerational family of believers. And because of that, we have no right to ask for ourselves anything that would harm another member of God's family. If we are truly praying in the will of God, as Ryan talked about last week, the answer to the prayers should be a blessing to the entirety of God's kingdom in one way or another. Now, I don't say that to say that praying personal, intimate prayers is wrong. Several places in the Gospels, we see where Jesus got away alone with God to talk with God, to pray to God in personal ways. And while we don't know a lot of what Jesus prayed, we do get a glimpse in the Garden of Gethsemane before Jesus goes to the cross. And in that prayer, Jesus uses personal pronouns. If it be your will, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. And so, yes, some prayers are personal and intimate and just between God and I. But I also believe that it was definitely intentional by Jesus to use plural pronouns when he was teaching us the shape of prayer. Because praying in this way will expand our vision and our heart for God's family. It will also break our natural, sinful, selfish desires and tendencies. It's much harder to pray selfish prayers with plural pronouns. And so I would challenge you this week to pay attention to the pronouns in your prayer. Maybe try spending a little time praying with only plural pronouns, with us and our. It might feel awkward and clunky at first, but I would bet it will help you rethink and recenter some of your prayers to the kingdom of God. Next in the prayer, we see Jesus being incredibly specific. Give us this day our daily bread. Not tomorrow's bread, not our weekly bread, our monthly bread, not all the bread we'll ever need. No, this day, our daily bread. And that raises an important question for me. The question is, if God is truly generous, if he owns everything, if he has unlimited resources at his disposal, then why limit the request? Why not teach us to pray, God, give me everything I'll ever need right now so I never have to worry ever again? The answer to that is actually quite simple, but also deeply challenging. The answer is because God is more concerned with our dependence on him than our independence. You see, God is not trying to raise self-sufficient Christians. Rather, God is forming in us dependent children who continually grow in dependence on him. We see this clearly from the Israelites in the Old Testament. After God rescues his people from slavery in Egypt, he leads them towards the promised land. But along the way, they fail to trust God. Their faith is lacking. And as a result, they have to spend 40 years wandering in the desert, 40 years in the wilderness. But of course, God is not going to waste those 40 years. So think with me about the environment the Israelites are now in. No grocery stores, no supply chains, no fertile land to raise crops or let livestock graze, no backup plans. They realized that if God doesn't provide, they're not gonna eat and eventually they will starve to death. So what does God do? We read about it in Exodus 16, verse 4. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you." So God literally rains down his provision for the Israelites. However, they were only allowed to gather enough for one day, except on the sixth day where they could gather enough for the Sabbath. And look at what it says in verse 16. This is what the Lord has commanded. Everyone gather as much as he will eat. Verse 18, the one who had gathered much did not have too much. The one who had gathered little did not have too little. Everyone gathered as much as he would eat. So God provided for the Israelites exactly what they needed. No excess, no shortage, exactly enough. And if you're familiar with this story, then you know that if they tried to store up, if they tried to create security for tomorrow, the manna spoiled. So why would God set it up that way with the Israelites? Is it because he is a God of scarcity? Is it because that's all the manna that he could produce in his heavenly ovens in one day? Of course not. He was teaching his people something deeper than survival. He was teaching them to trust him. And scripture actually tells us this directly. In Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, Moses writes about this event. Here's what he says. He says, and he, being God, humbled you, being the Israelites, and let you go hungry, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, in order to make you understand that man shall not live on bread alone, but man shall live on everything that comes out of the mouth of the Lord. God wasn't just interested in feeding the Israelites' bodies. God was interested in forming their hearts. Every single morning, they woke up with the same reality. If God doesn't come through today, we don't eat. And every single morning for 40 years, God was faithful, day after day after day. God was teaching them that he is their provider. Not their planning, not their ability to save, not their ability to work hard, not their ability to control their circumstances, but God. You know, I'll admit, this gets a little tricky for us to directly apply to our lives here in 21st century America. Because for the majority of us, we have more than enough food to last us several days, if not weeks. And when we're running short, there are grocery stores and restaurants, and our community is even blessed with amazing nonprofits like the Food Bank and Matt Talbot Kitchen and the People City Mission. So our daily bread is something that we don't often have to worry about. But to Jesus's audience on the side of that hill, the need for daily bread may have been a real concern. I also recognize that if I was sharing this message in another part of the world today, the need for daily bread may be a real concern. But how do we apply this to our lives in the blessing and the abundance that we so often live in? Well, let me ask you this question. Is there any part of your life where you have recently thought to yourself, if God doesn't show up here, I or we are in trouble? You see, that is the type of daily bread shape of prayer that Jesus was exemplifying for us. You know, about a month ago, I was pondering this prayer as I was preparing for the amazing week of VBS. As we saw in that video to start the service, VBS is such a blessing here at our church. It is so wonderful to see so many people come together with one goal of showing and sharing the love of Jesus with kids, of sharing the gospel message with them. But also, I'll also let you know that VBS is quite the daunting task to oversee. And so a few weeks out from VBS, we still had a list of about 40 or 50 more volunteer spots that needed filling and a long list of tasks that needed to be accomplished before the week could happen. And I remember praying to God and saying, God, if you're not in this with us, we're in big trouble. Then going into the week of VBS, I was already tired. I didn't have the energy, the emotional capacity, the spiritual bandwidth to lead well through that entire week. And yet I can tell you with absolute certainty that each and every day of that week, God gave me and so many others exactly what we needed for that day. You see, the daily bread of Jesus's prayer example can apply to so many areas where we need God's daily provision. And I fully recognize that part of the beauty of gathering as the church is that we all come in with our own struggles and burdens and needs. And so maybe you're here this morning and you have a relationship that is just holding on by a thread. And you need to ask God to give you just what you need for today in that relationship. Maybe you're facing a health diagnosis or an upcoming surgery or medical procedure that you don't know how it's gonna go. And you need to ask God to give you just what your body needs today. I know some are walking through financial stress. You have bills piling up, unexpected expenses, in uncertainty about the future, and you need to pray, God, give me just enough for today. I know there's parents in the room who summer can be overwhelming. Change of schedules, trying to continue to work in your career and give the best to your family and to your children. And you need God to give you wisdom and grace for today. I know some have job situations that feel uncertain. And you're thinking, if something doesn't change, I don't know how I'm going to keep going. And you need God to meet you in that uncertainty one day at a time. I know some are in seasons of deep grief and sorrow. You've recently lost a loved one, or the loss of a season, or the loss of what you thought life was gonna look like right now. And you need God to give you the comfort you need for today. These are all areas where we can regularly cry out to God, give us this day our daily bread. You see, this line in Jesus's prayer example shapes in us a deeper dependence on our good, generous, loving Heavenly Father. When we pray, Lord, give us this day our daily bread, what we are really saying is, God, we are your children and you are a generous God. So I will trust you to provide today. You know what I need. God, I depend on you. Jesus shows us that the goal of prayer is not just asking God to get things done for us. After all, God already knows what we need before we even ask. Rather, the goal or shape of prayer is so often about us growing in our trust and dependence on our good, generous, and loving Heavenly Father. This series this summer, we've titled The Shape of Prayer. But I love what Ryan reminded us last week. I think Jesus knew that when we pray in this way, it will also be the prayer that shapes us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do recognize that we are your children, a part of your family. And as such, we are totally dependent on you. God, you are holy. You are above all. You are set apart. You are worthy of all honor and glory and majesty. And so, God, we want to submit to you, to your will, to your kingdom, to your plan for our lives. God, forgive us when we take control and don't submit to you. God, once again, we recognize that we all have our own daily prayer needs. We all have areas in our lives where we need you to show up and where we need to submit and trust you for this day. We know that as we do that, just like the Israelites, you will grow our faith and our trust and our dependence on you. And that's what we want, dear God. I pause in this prayer to invite you to pray with me now as the Lord taught us to pray. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.